Everything's fucked right now. Give me a check.
Hello. You're listening to the podcast.
All right, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay, I think that's fine.
Great.
It doesn't really matter.
Nothing matters.
Nothing really does matter.
No.
Is there anything that matters?
I don't think. What is that thing?
You know the game like Angry Birds?
Yeah.
I think it's one of the pigs.
It's creepy as all hell.
I like it because you squeeze it, his eyes pop out.
Yeah, it's creepy.
All right, very excited because Brandi is in LA.
I'm in LA. Hey, I took the 405 to the 101 to get here, and I got off at the Sepulveda Pass because, you know, that like 101, 405 intersection is just gnarly.
No, you didn't, because your mom's house, you know what your mom's house is. You took Riverside probably down.
Yeah, I did. Actually, I took Moore Park.
Oh, you took Moore Park down. Yeah. And then you hung a Louie on freaking
Laurel. Your street. Yeah. That street down there.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. You know?
I'm on the show every week. What are you talking about?
I meant to say it's good to have you in the studio.
In studio.
Boo.
Boo. You're gonna get the boot.
Boo, out of here. God damn it, call the ball. Which means the fucking boo's about it.
I can't wait till you have kids. I can't wait to see your parenting skills.
Dude, when I have kids, we're going to have an au pair. Okay? We're having an au pair.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to raise my children.
Yeah. I'm here for that.
Right? Yeah. That's the only way to do it.
It's the only way.
I can't be bothered to... Who am I to raise a child?
Yeah, no.
It's the only thing that can be done. Because if they give me a child...
Infant in one arm, White Claw in the other.
How is Salt Lake City?
Very Mormon, you know?
Are you a Mormon now?
No, absolutely not.
You could be.
No, I don't want to do that. It was fun. Salt Lake is... I think it's the sleepiest city I've ever been in my whole life.
Wow.
Like, things close at 6 p.m.
Really?
The Starbucks closed. Walgreens closed 6 p.m.
Who's going to Starbucks at 6 p.m.?
Downtown Salt Lake City closed Walgreens at 6.
Yeah, but who's going to Starbucks at 6 p.m.?
Me, because
why?
I had to DJ at midnight.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Starbucks stays open in Nashville until like 10 at least.
Yeah.
On the weekdays.
I'm sorry.
It's very sleepy. It was like a ghost town.
Yeah, what do the Mormons do after 6? Do they have dinner?
Well, I don't think they're allowed to drink.
Yeah, they can't drink.
So it's, take a Xanax and go to sleep? I don't know.
They can't take Xanax. They have to go have dinner together. And they sit around a table and they talk about their day.
Ugh.
Did you ever do that as a kid?
Absolutely not.
Oh, we had to do that. 100%. We couldn't be late for dinner.
No.
We had one of those bells that ding a ling a ling a ling a ling a ling a ling.
You did not.
Yes, we did.
I don't believe that.
Swear on my life.
Where did you live? Like rural Pennsylvania?
No, we lived in Monterey, but lived on a golf course, and there was five kids, so we were all like playing on the golf course, and you know,
wow,
and doing that stuff.
My parents did not cook, so they would pick a restaurant, like a chain restaurant.
Yeah.
And we would eat there at the same one for like 6 months until they got sick of it. And then we'd pick a new one. Like it was Outback Steakhouse for a solid 6 months.
The one on West End?
No, we were in Franklin, right? Okay. So the one in Cool Springs there, right off 65 by the Home Depot. That Outback, definitely ate there for a solid 6 months. Jay Alexander's was another one.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like 15 and needed a job. My mom was like, well, we're here every night, so why don't you go apply?
Yeah.
It was just always a chain restaurant.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Do you think that if you have a family?
Well, I don't want kids.
Yeah. Just a hard pass on that.
Yeah.
You're like that one girl in Ultimatum.
Ultimatum.
Yeah.
Only I'm not changing my mind.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I don't think she is either.
Yeah. She was like, we'll just have one.
Yeah. Wait, but she's lying.
That's one more than you wanted.
She's saying that to get the ring, and then she's going to marry the guy and be like, yeah, no.
No. I'm barren now.
Yeah.
I want to have kids, excited for it, but I want to do minimal effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get
minimal.
My mom. Minimal effort needs to be done by me and by Sarah, if I'm being quite frank. Okay? I'm working very hard right now, so I don't have to work hard when these kids come.
Yeah. Are you working hard?
I mean, not really.
Are you working hard or hardly working, really?
Listen, it's been a dark couple months. We don't need to get into it.
Or are those White Claw ads just really securing your child's future?
Wasn't a bad one, I'll tell you that much. Honestly, do you want to know what I have been having to do?
Yeah.
Here's what they don't tell you about professional television shows, which okay. maybe that you know this, but I don't know this from doing Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. There really isn't any pickups on Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. They do it all like when you're there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for this show, Best in Dough, that I'm hosting, it's going to be coming out on Hulu. I have to do so much ADR, and ADR is like when they send me a script and I have to like read what they want me to say, even though I didn't say it originally.
Right.
Because like the network now has a different idea of like what needs to be important and this needs to be said and all this stuff. So a lot of my day, something that I've already been paid for, is being like bogged down by like me redoing all this stuff.
Oh yeah.
And they'll like send me videos of it. Of me speaking, so I have to like match my mouth with it.
That's awful.
You know?
Yeah.
Luckily, it got a lot of time on my hands over here.
Oh,
so
luckily,
here we go.
Wow.
But yeah, so I've been doing a lot of that, you know? I've been running.
Oh.
Keto lifestyle. You know, like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, it's just getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
And by better and better, I mean it's getting worse and worse. Here's what I think that Amber Heard needs to do. I think Amber Heard needs to next sue her lawyers for ruining her career because they are doing such a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you see the thing where the lawyer objected to his own line of questioning?
Yes.
And listen, I'm no lawyer. I don't know if that's even not, but like everyone was like, can you believe this happened? I'm like, I guess not. Rabble, rabble, rabble. How is this happening? And then that kind of like hot psychologist lady.
Hot psychologist.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah, she's all right.
I understand why Johnny and or Amber probably wanted this person.
Sure.
Because I feel like they were just fucking everybody, you know? They were like
it's possible.
They're like Will and Jada over there. I feel like that was supposed to be a witness for Amber's side, and it's just turned in like purely for Johnny's side.
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right about that.
That's so great. And then my other favorite thing in Hollywood that's happened right now. I've always been team Jason Sudeikis and the whole Olivia Wilde thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, she left Jason Sudeikis for Harry Styles. I get it.
Do you?
It's hot. And also, you know what my favorite songs I was going to play at the end of this was his new song.
Oh, really?
I really do like.
Fascinating.
But what's funny about that song is it's a fucking indie song. This motherfucker was a pop artist throwing out indie songs. If I was an indie band, I'd be like, no way, dude, come on. This is going to be played on alt and on pop, you know?
Yep.
So anyways, Olivia Wilde left Jason Sudeikis for Harry Styles. I get it. The younger, hotter rock star.
Yes, but Jason Sudeikis is so cool.
I know. Pot smoking.
Love him.
SNL cast member who has won more Emmys than God for his new show, which you didn't like, by the way.
Didn't love it, but I still like Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. But my favorite thing about it is that I guess he needed to serve her papers.
Oh, yeah.
And this is like, be honest with you, so this would be a fun job. I think this would be a very
serving
fun,
people papers?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely it would.
And I do believe that's the premise of Pineapple Express. I think.
I haven't seen that in so long.
I think Seth Rogen's character is a guy who serves people papers.
That's hilarious.
And that's how it starts. But like, so you have to come up with creative ways to serve people papers.
Yeah.
Because they don't want, if you don't get them, then I guess you don't have to do anything with them. I don't know. I don't understand the law. All right.
Well, I don't either.
Objection. You asked the question.
What's crazy about this whole like serving people papers thing to me, though, is that like, no, there's no witnesses. Who's going to know if the person actually like said, yeah, because they, you know, they'll come to you, are you Wells Adams?
Yeah.
And if you don't confirm, yes, I'm Wells Adams, I don't think they can give you the papers. Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. There's some blurry lines there. And I'm like, well, no one's around. Who's going to know if they actually said that or not? You just throw them in their face for crying out loud.
Yeah, maybe you have a like a body cam on or something.
I don't know. We need to find out. We need to find someone that does this for a living and ask some questions.
But I do know that they give you the papers and they say, you've been served.
Yes.
I know that's a part of it.
Yeah.
It's like only one line you got to remember. This is great. So I guess Olivia Wilde was presenting her new movie, to a crowd of people that has Harry Styles in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. right.
Yeah. She hired her boyfriend. Dude, come on. Number one rule in Hollywood. Don't work with each other.
You can't.
Don't do it.
I know. It's bad. Bad news.
What are you thinking? Unless the money's really good. Mm. And even then. So at the event where she's like presenting the movie in which her lover is in, someone walks up on stage and serves her the papers. And goddamn it, if that's the greatest move in the history of divorce. And apparently, like, Sudeikis is like, I didn't say to do that.
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, if he did.
He probably did say, she's presenting a movie at this address at this time, so just in case you wondered about that.
At 7:37 at the Universal Studios lot, she will be there.
Yep.
And weirdly enough, here's a ticket to go see it. I found this on the floor. Well, here's the thing. If he didn't suggest it, whoever that guy is, give that guy a fucking a medal, an award, you know?
It's good.
It's so great. If he did suggest it, I like him even more. I like Sudeikis even more. Like, it's a win-win for everybody.
It is.
And then she had to sit up there. I mean, I don't know how long she held it, but like she had to be up on stage. She had to hold the fucking manila envelope.
I know.
It's beautiful. I don't ever want to get divorced, but if I get divorced... That's how I want to be served, you know?
At the premiere of your movie.
Yeah. I want my moment to be taken away from me.
Right.
You know?
Oh, man.
Beautiful. Start the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah. I think it's you.
All right. Bros and Hoes, you're listening to a in-person episode of Your Favorite Thing podcast.
With Wells and Brandy.
I messed it up there.
You
didn't
did mess it up.
Yeah, sorry. It's okay.
We made it work.
I mean, we're in episode 203. What does it matter anymore?
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Nothing does matter. This is something that we've figured out, which is sad. All right, guys. Bowl and Branch. Yep. They're making the dreamiest bedding for your spring refresh. And it's all, this is the best part, 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. You'll sleep better right away with their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And they're made with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton, and they're yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it back because Boll & Branch is amazing.
Boll & Branch is loved by millions of sleepers, and they have over 11,000 reviews. Plus, they're made without toxins, so they're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals that are terrible for you. Plus, they fit the deepest of mattresses, so if you're like me and you have that like pillow top, cloud top, deep mattress, they totally fit, no problem.
Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code FAVORITE at BollAndBranch.com.
That's Boll & Branch, BollAndBranch.com. Promo code FAVORITE. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
But I do have some favorite things.
That's good.
And I have some not so favorite things.
Oh, sometimes I also think that's good too.
I think so too, because it's a cautionary tale, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We are tastemakers, if you will.
Are we?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think we are. By the way, they rated like the top
I saw this.
Bachelor Nation podcasts.
I saw this.
And first of all, we weren't even on the first page.
I know. Offended.
I am a little offended.
Also, though, are you also offended they're calling us a Bachelor Nation podcast?
A little bit. Yeah. But we do talk about The Bachelor.
We do.
So I get that, mm-hmm. But.
And you were on the show.
Yeah. And I'm always on the freaking show, I guess. Mm. But here's the thing, like, Becca and Tanya's show, mm-hmm. I feel like it's not about Bachelor at all.
Yeah, not at all. I think they just are saying that because Becca was on it.
I get it. Yeah, like Dean and Jared's Help Us Like a Dating.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know if they still do that.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either. I think
Dean lives in a van. How's he recording a podcast?
I don't know. Jason Tardix is like about like money.
Finance, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, we weren't even on the first page, which is just, I don't know. It's hurtful, you know?
It is.
So that's one of my least favorite things right now. And the way that they were rating them, it was by how many people have rated the show.
Which is bullshit.
And how many, like, good ratings they've got.
I think ours did have almost all good, like...
Yeah, we were 4.7
out of 5. Yeah, the stats were pretty good on our on our good ratings.
Yeah. That's why we got like a little gold star or something. Yeah. Bullshit. What we're saying is, hey, go to the podcast app and give us 5 stars, please.
Yes, please.
So yeah, anyways. I didn't like that.
Oh, podcasts.
Yeah, also, none of this matters.
Nothing matters.
This is a fucking Instagram page that I don't even know why this bothers me. Why is this annoying me so much?
Because you're hardly working and you got too much free time.
Gotta do some ADR. All right, you got some favorite things, bro, or what?
Yeah, bro.
Give it to me.
Actually, I haven't really watched much, but...
If we're being honest, we literally just recorded...
We did.
...Wednesday's episode like 3 days ago. Yeah. And we're doing this because Brandy is in town right now.
And you're leaving. And that's leaving really why we're doing it.
For sure.
Because I will still be here on Monday.
Yeah, I'm flying out. But... Dude, I'm going to the desert.
He's going to Stagecoach.
No, I'm not.
To watch Balake's DJ set.
I'm so annoyed. So my mom's birthday is coming up and she loves the desert because she's a lizard woman that like just loves to sit out in the sun and just I get it. But it's like the desert's just too hot.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
Give me Hawaii. I like some humidity with my heat, I think.
I do too.
You know?
Especially if you want to sit out like by a pool or the beach or something.
Yeah. But my mom loves Palm Springs. So every year she's like, I want to go to Palm Springs. I'm like, we're great. So my brother and I got us a place for all of us in the desert. And he was like, hey, man, can you split it with me? It's really expensive. And I was like, yeah, okay. Why is the desert expensive? This is an Airbnb wet dream over there. There's just so much bullshit out there. I have a meeting tomorrow morning. And then after the meeting, I'm going to go. And I was telling my brother that. And he's like, you better get on the road early. And I was like, why? Because it's Stagecoach weekend. And I was like, oh, great. I'm going to be in that traffic with all those annoying people who are so excited to go listen to Travis Tritt. And
I don't think he's on Stagecoach, but
And Leanne Rimes.
I don't think she's there either, but yeah.
And Orville Peck.
He's probably there, yeah.
I do like Orville Peck.
I do too.
I like that guy's cool.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
I remember so vividly being in like the caravan of traffic going to Bonnaroo and everyone's like, woo! They've got signs and shit. Everyone's like token up and like selling drugs and back, you know. And it's like you're getting ready. And it's like fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be like, fuck you guys. Let's go. Let's pick it up. Let's pick up the pace.
Okay, hear me out. Why don't you take a JetSuite flight?
I didn't even think of that.
It's pretty cheap, actually.
I love JetSuite.
Yeah.
JetSuite is one of my fave things.
It's really nice. I mean, I can't really take advantage of it much because I don't live here. But
they got a Burbank to Palm Springs.
They do during Stagecoach. We're
gonna look into that.
Honestly, you could probably get it for hashtag free for a little story post.
You got to connect over there.
I do. I got to connect. I think so. And I also have a connect for a helicopter service that I took last time I went to the Stagecoach.
Really?
The Stagecoach. Went to Stagecoach.
Oh man, are you sad you're not going to Stagecoach to hang out with Black A?
No, I'm not sad one bit.
How come you're not doing a Stagecoach set?
Because. I don't need to do a Stagecoach set. No, you know, I like to attend Stagecoach. Here's the thing. I am not a country DJ, nor do I want to be known as a country DJ.
Yeah.
Can I, hear once or twice a year, go play some country music for, a good time? Sure. But it's not what I want to be known for. It's not really my thing. So I'm fine not playing Stagecoach.
Do they mash up Billy Ray Cyrus with Sam Hunt?
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
It's pretty insane. Although
it was just still like
some of it, yeah. So it's very interesting.
My tractor sexy.
Those exist.
Oh fuck, dude.
Only person that can do it and do it right is Diplo. He plays every year in the Palomino tent.
Yeah.
I think it's on Sunday nights maybe. And it's like the big end of Stagecoach party in the Palomino tent. It's like a thing that Diplo does every year.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because he's Diplo. And you know what I mean? He can play anything and everyone freaks out because it's freaking Diplo.
Yeah.
But if you're not Diplo, you should not be playing country music at Stagecoach.
You know, what's I've never been to Coachella.
You're not missing out on anything.
Yeah. And, Sarah's been a bunch and she used to go with Vanessa Hudgens a bunch and they would just get I just feel like they were just getting papped the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds like a fucking nightmare to me in a place where I want to be fucking... weird, whacked
Litty
out.
Kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the city.
Well, not to mention you're sweating balls out there.
Well, and that's what I need. I need fucking my pupils to be the size of flying saucers in Us Weekly. No, yeah,
that's what
you.
Would happen.
This is such an elitist, like, hipster thing to say, but that's how I feel, so I'm going to say it. When I covered Bonnaroo, no one really cared about what you wore because you were camping. It was, like, whatever you could just do to be comfortable. The whole thing was, like, all music discovery. Like, okay, I want to go see this band. I want to go experience this thing. And it was, like, always, like, trying to find the next thing. And it's weird because I feel like what music festivals were a discovery of talent, musical talent, or just artistic talent. And now it's turned its face to a discovery of me. I want everyone to find out who I am.
Yep, I can see that.
And like took a picture of me and look mm-hmm. how pretty I look. And to me, that is narcissistic. That's not fun for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's too hot. It's too dusty. There's too much walking involved. Ubers are $8,000 to drive you 4 miles. Yeah. It's just not it.
It's not it.
It's not it.
Well, I can't wait to go and be amongst all the Revolve girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what Revolve is. I got invited to something and I was like, yeah, I'm not a girl. I don't, what do you want me to do? And they were, they invited me to something and they wanted me to go like do a bunch of posts about it.
Oh, yeah.
No money. They were just inviting me to a thing.
They don't pay anyone for anything, hardly.
What the fuck are we doing there?
Their budgets are so terrible. And
is it
people,
clothes?
People will do it. Yeah. Girls will do it, A, to get clothes, and B, just to be like, be a Revolve girl. It's insane.
It's seen to be seen.
Yeah.
No. Not for me. Okay, so do you have some fave things?
Do I have some fave things, bro? Oh, I'm deep into Girl from Plainville.
Yeah, and you're loving it.
I'm loving it. It just so happens that my mom and I were on the same episode mm-hmm. when I got here, so we watched like 4 episodes last night.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Are you team the Girl from Plainville?
Absolutely not. She's a complete psycho.
Is she terrible?
I mean, she's just... Elle Fanning does such a good job playing this girl. I mean, the girl's unhinged, mm-hmm. you know? There's, like, this really interesting Glee angle to it. Have you heard about this at all?
No.
Where the girl, the Plainville girl, what's her name? Michelle. Michelle has this weird infatuation with Glee. Yeah. And she'll, like, in one of the first episodes, she, like, pulls up a scene from Glee where Lea Michele is giving a speech about her, like, boyfriend that died. Yeah. It was, like, very parallel to, like, what's going on, right? Michelle's, like, boyfriend just committed suicide. Yeah. Scene's playing, and she's standing in front of her mirror, like, saying it with
rehearsing
it, like, mirroring
it.
The
yeah.
scene. And she's, like, sobbing and crying and so emotional. And, like, the second it's over, her, like, this look just, like, changes in her face. And it's so freaking creepy. And you can just tell everything is so calculated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then, like, there's another scene where she's in the kitchen having a meltdown. Like, Mom, what? Like, why are you treating me this way? My boyfriend just died. And her mom's like, well, it is something, something. And then she says, like, something else. Like, he was the light of, like, of my life and the son of my, some cheesy thing. And mm-hmm. her sister goes, is that a Glee quote?
Yeah.
And she's like, shut up. And like, whatever, because it is. Like, yeah. She'll pull things from Glee and say them, like, in real life. And it's the creepiest thing. It's like, who are you?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Speaking of rehearsing for things, I need to write my vows.
Oh, God.
I know.
That sounds hard. So you guys are writing like your own.
I didn't even. So here's the thing. The other day, Sarah was like, so when are you going to start writing your vows? And I was like,
we're doing that.
Because in my mind, I was like, the things that I need to focus on is the speech that I need to give at the wedding.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm the one who's in charge of like having to be like, you know, thank you to mom and dad and Sarah's parents and, you know, the person who marries us mm-hmm. and everyone who came from a long journey.
From
and then
all the way across the country.
From Nashville, Tennessee. And then she threw that on me and I was like, fuck, I got it. That's 2 speeches I got to memorize.
Sometimes people write their vows together.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys could do that.
I'm just so competitive that like I want mine to be better than hers, you know?
Yeah, good luck.
Like, remember when we went to Ben and Jess's wedding?
Oh, yeah.
You, like, Ben out-vowed her.
Oh, yeah.
And it was...
But it's Ben.
It's Ben, exactly.
Of course he did.
That's what I should do. I should
Ben's
should,
an author, for crying out loud.
He is an author. I should employ Ben to write my vows. I feel like you could probably get him on the cheap.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. He's, like, in the audience, like, saying the, like, yeah. mouthing the vows as you say
He's
them.
Holding up the cue cards.
The whole thing.
SNL. Okay, so I watched a new show on Showtime called The Man Who Fell to Earth. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, no. I don't have Showtime.
That's the problem.
I know. I think I got to get it. This is like the third time you've said a Showtime show is great.
I know. They're making good stuff. Like they did with Bryan Cranston in New Orleans. That was really good.
All right.
An alien arrives with a mission to learn to become human and find the one woman who can help save his species. Together, they discover that in order to save his world, they must first save ours. The Man Who Fell to Earth. There's only one episode out right now. Maybe when you listen to this, there'll be two. It's super interesting. And like how it starts is he's like giving a keynote address. He seems like he is the Steve Jobs of this world.
Okay.
And he's got like some new tech he's showing everyone there. And then he's like, maybe I should start addressing the rumors. And he's like that I'm, you know, going through all these things that like dangerous aliens are. And he's like, and they're all true. And then like zips back to like the day he got to Earth and stuff. And like started to learn our like culture and words and all this kind of stuff. And it's super interesting. And the cast is really good. I think it's going to be a good one. I think you're going to like it too. Because you like those space ones too.
Love. My mother, she has got to lay off the weed. I was FaceTiming her the other day and she was drinking a Celsius. You know the energy drinks?
Yeah.
I love those. Love. My favorite energy drink. Give me a ding. And she was drinking a Celsius and I go, you're drinking a Celsius? And she was like, is that what this is? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, I guess so. I love them. And I was like, that's so funny. Like, I've been drinking this forever. Like, you know, I can't believe you like that energy drink. You don't like energy drink. She goes, this is an energy drink. And I was like, yes, there's 200 milligrams of caffeine in that. She goes, oh my God, I've been drinking like four of these a day. I was like, please tell me you're exaggerating. She was like, no, literally I drink like four a day. My fridge is stocked. And I was like, Mom, your heart's going to literally explode. Because she already takes Concerta every day, which is like Adderall for her ADHD or whatever.
Yeah.
And on top of that, she's drinking coffee in the morning and then four cans of Celsius. That's 800 milligrams of caffeine.
I'm surprised she doesn't drink the weed drinks.
I don't think she likes those.
We get sent them all the time.
You like them?
I don't like weed at all.
So I don't like those drinks.
I just have them here for when people come over and they're like.
Do they have energy? Are they energy drinks?
I have no clue.
Oh my God. Anyway, so I told her. I was like, okay, you can only have one of those a day and you really shouldn't be drinking them every day. Guess what? She's been drinking at least one every day since I've been here.
Yeah.
She is crazy.
Let her live her life,
man. No. Yeah,
let her live her life.
No.
I watched kind of an older movie. It came out a couple years ago, I feel like, called Vivarium.
Never heard of it.
It's funny because I've been watching this Open Range thing with Imogen Poots.
Uh-huh.
And then she's in this movie with Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay.
I put it on. Fuck, it's creepy. Here's the tag. A young couple looking for the perfect home finds themselves trapped in a mysterious labyrinth. In a mysterious labyrinth-like neighborhood of identical houses. Vivarium, your home forever. So they're like a young couple. They walk into like this real estate office that has a new set of, you know, like track homes that they're calling Yonder. And the guy who's like presenting, it's like really creepy, like really, really weird. And he's like, you want to go look at the houses? Like, let's go look at the houses. And so they're like, okay. So they follow him in their car to this place and they get there. They show all the houses are the same color. They're all green. They all look exactly the same. Like there is no difference. Then all of a sudden the guy that's like the real estate agent just like leaves. And then they're like, all right, well, we should get in the car and leave too. So they get in their car and they try to leave and they can't. Like every time they try to drive out, like they just go back past the house.
Weird.
And then they get stuck there. And then like after a couple days, a baby gets left with them. And the baby like ages like really fast. This is like a fucking alien baby or something. Like, what's happening? Pretty cool twist. It was so weird that I had to like look it up. It was one of those where I was like, what does this all mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I realized what it all meant and like the significance of these like baby birds who die in the beginning and what that like signifies. Pretty fucking good. Pretty fucking creepy.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots are both great actors, so can't be all bad.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, so I like that.
Okay. Have you seen the Abercrombie and Fitch documentary?
No.
Ugh.
But I just know that they talk about, they explain what malls are at some point.
Oh.
And that's beautiful.
It's everything. Like, mall culture was such a thing.
Yeah, so that doesn't exist anymore? Like, kids not go to the mall?
I don't think so.
Where do they go?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth, but I really don't think malls are, like, anything like what they were. Something tells me you were, like, big Abercrombie and Fitch guy.
Surprisingly, no.
What?
Yeah, I was more of a Gap kid.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah.
Were you an Abercrombie and Fitch
guy?
Oh,
major.
Really?
More a Hollister gal.
Yeah, I can
see which that. Was owned by Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
But I loved both, for sure. But what's funny about it to me is, like, it's, like, almost, like, very your aesthetic now. Like, chunky knit cardigans
yeah.
and inspired by, like, outdoorsmen and, like, hunting and, like, all that shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could just totally see you wearing Abercrombie, which is so funny. But it is, I'm only halfway through the documentary, and it is fascinating to me. And I'm sure that's because I literally lived it. You know what I mean? There's this whole angle of how this, the guy that, like, was CEO and, like, ran the whole thing. Like, I mean, literally, like, he controlled all of it. Like, all of it was his, like, you know, insane genius or whatever, to the extent of, like, for instance, something they would say is, you know, something that they did different as a mall store was, like, he went in and was like, I want wood blinds on the windows. Like, and normally when you walk through a mall, the whole, like, a huge thing for stores and malls is window displays to draw you in.
Yeah.
And they literally did the opposite by, like, putting shutters on so that you can't see, so that you have to go in to see what is in the store. Like, that's such a genius branding, like, tactic. You know what I mean? To
yeah.
get people in. And then, of course, like, the you know, shirtless males standing in the front, the models and the
was
Santa hats.
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. During Christmas, they wore Santa hats and Abercrombie jeans, and that's it. And of course, you can, like, smell the Abercrombie cologne from, like, a mile down the mall hallway.
Yeah.
And that draws you in. Like, and then they said, like, the music, you know, you could hear the music from so far down the mall that you just, like, knew where to go. So there was just, like, all these tactics to draw people to the store that, I mean, as a kid, and also, like, there's no way my mom picked up on any of that. Like, you just, like, don't pick up on any of it, but it does draw you in. And I was even thinking, like, it's kind of crazy that as a 13-14 year old, my mom took me shopping in a store where there were, like, shirtless dudes just all over the walls. Like, that
yeah.
wasn't even, like, a thing. Like, we just didn't even really register it, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty fascinating. So that's one angle of it, is just, like, you know, the branding of it and how it drew people in and what it was and all that. And then there's all these other, like, terrible angles of, like, how, you know, they were so exclusive to the point where they would literally only hire people that were beautiful and white and blonde with blue eyes. Like, it was just very discriminatory, you know.
Yeah.
Discriminatory?
Discriminatory.
Discriminatory, thank you. And obviously that
objection.
All
objection. You asked the question.
Obviously, that all comes out, like, and there were court cases filed. They've been sued by past employees that say they were fired because of their race, or they were put
For sure.
in the back because
oh, yeah.
they didn't look a certain way, and, like, all of this crazy shit. It's pretty fascinating. It's definitely worth a watch, especially if you grew up wearing Abercrombie, shopping there in the mall, like, mall culture. It's just really interesting.
Is Abercrombie still a thing?
Oh, it's still a thing. I have friends that still shop there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, hey, listen, if they got
they got, they
shit,
got good shit,
you know?
I mean, hey. Yeah, it's
they
just
still
it's
have,
wild.
Do they still have the...
The shirtless models?
Yeah, the Anglo-Saxon male.
I gotta say, I don't frequent the mall.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Here's the thing. I think a big part of mall culture going away is online shopping, right?
For sure.
Why do you need to go to a mall when it's, like, all available and on your laptop and
yeah.
it comes right to your house? So I think that's probably a big part of it. But, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, I do remember, like, as a kid, it's like, that's where you go to hang out. The minute I got my license, that's immediately where I wanted to drive to.
Yeah, we would, after dances, go to the mall and go have, like, ice cream at Marie Callender's.
Yeah. Yeah, hang out in the food court for an
yeah.
hour. And then, like, our mall had a movie theater in it. And
Same.
You'd go see a movie, and then you'd go hang out in the mall, you know? It's just crazy.
Yeah, ours was called the Del Monte Shopping Center, but we called it DMC.
Oh, very cool.
Like, where are you going? We're going to DMC.
DMC.
We're going to go to DMC. What are you doing? What are you guys doing?
Well, where do the kids go now?
That's the thing. This is the problem with the world. They go to their phones or whatnot, you
know?
I know,
it's true.
They don't get to experience the shenanigans.
You're right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to raise hell.
Yeah.
And that's why there's no more dinner bells. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Because they don't have to come home because they're fucking
true.
On the couch on their iPad.
Damn.
We are those old people.
Oh, 1,000% we're those old people.
Did you do any outdoorsy stuff? I did a lot of outdoorsy stuff as a kid.
Well, I was at the barn with my horses 24/7.
We would like go, and we would trespass a lot because we lived in, well, Monterey is beautiful. We'd go up into like the Carmel Valley, like highlands, that's and cool. like or Big Sur, and we would like jump fences and like go, and it was all a ruse to go smoke pot somewhere. Oh, actually, gosh, that's all it so was. Funny. And here's the thing: now weed's illegal here. What are these kids do? Kids need to go do smoke pot illegally somewhere. Makes you a better person.
I don't know.
I watched a really good samurai slasher.
Huh. A good samurai slasher, you say?
It's in the vein of Kill Bill.
Okay.
It's called Kate. Have you heard of this?
I feel like I have heard of it.
Who's
in it?
It's on Netflix. Main character is Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I feel like the thing that she's known for the most is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I don't know if you ever got into that.
No.
She's also in 10 Cloverfield Lane, also in Birds of Prey. So she is like the superhero in this. And she plays an assassin. Here's the tag. A female assassin has 24 hours to get vengeance on her poisoner before she dies. Kate. So it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and then Woody Harrelson is like her mentor, the guy who like turned her into the assassin.
Got it.
And she's like a badass sniper, and then like something bad happens, and she gets poisoned, and then it's just balls to the wall, hour and a half of her just fucking everybody up. And then it becomes quite a female empowering movie, because one, the main character, the protagonist, is beating the fuck out of all these dudes. And then the other thing is that she kind of teams up with this like little girl named Annie. They kind of together beat ass. And so it's cool in that way. And then the other thing is like the cinematography, that the camera work is so cool in these fight scenes. The things that they're doing are so badass. Something will happen in a fight scene and like the entire camera flips upside down, you know, as if like you're kind of like in the scene with it. Like, you know, the person flips upside down, so all of a sudden you flip upside down. Anyways, they do a lot of really cool camera work where I was like, this is fucking awesome. I think for all the ladies out there.
Okay.
Check out Kate. It's on Netflix.
Very cool. Maybe this chair is so squeaky.
Maybe this chair could be louder.
It's maybe? Like, is this always the chair you always sit in?
Yeah. And yes.
Why is it so squeaky today?
I don't know.
I've never heard this before.
I know. Oh, you know who else is in that? Michelle Hulsman.
Fucking love him. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sold me.
Yeah, you see him have sex. Oh,
love that for me.
See him go to Pound Town.
He's so hot.
Deep dicking. Is he married?
I think so.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, it's Hollywood. It won't last, so. Oh, still got a chance. So
Lord.
Would you serve his wife papers if
Yeah, I would. Oh, yeah. You know what comes out Friday, right? Or it's tomorrow.
New Ozark.
So, you know what's out now?
Yeah.
The new Ozark.
Yeah, so next week we'll be talking Ozark.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Ozark. Yeah, we are.
Ozark, yeah. I'm so sad that it's the end.
I am too, but I feel like they can still do a spinoff.
You think?
I feel like they can.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. The end of whatever episode was last was insane.
Yeah, that was Julia Garner's brother gets, yes. Or cousin or whatever gets shot, right?
Yep. And I think cousin.
Yeah.
It was insane.
I've got a favorite thing from Sarah. Okay. I'm supposed to tell you about new Pixar film called Turning Red.
Oh, cute.
I'm not sure if you've seen that.
Mm-mm.
She loved it. She thought it was so cute. Here's the tag. A 13-year-old girl named Melanin turns into a giant red panda whenever she gets too excited. She said it's really cute. So, but Sarah loves all like animated things.
Yeah, she does.
Because she just wants to be a Disney princess,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to happen one day.
I believe that.
And that money is going to pay for our au pair.
Oh, poor Sarah.
Why poor Sarah?
That's why poor funny.
Sarah?
It's
Sarah's involved in this.
Oh, gosh.
I have a least favorite thing.
Oh.
And I hate to do this, and I was so excited about this.
Okay.
And it was just so bad. The movie is called Moonfall.
Oh, did you talk about this last week?
I maybe said I wanted to watch
maybe.
It. Halle Berry's in it.
Hmm.
And then John Bradley, who played Sam in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
And then Patrick Wilson, who's been in a bunch of stuff. Michael Pena is in it. So the cast is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it premise-wise sounds awesome. A mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit around Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it. Moonfall. So it starts out with like Halle Berry and Patrick Wilson doing a spacewalk. They're like fixing like a satellite or something.
Cool.
And all of a sudden like crazy weird cloud alien thing comes and like overtakes the space shuttle, fucks everything up, like knocks one of the astronauts off into space and he's going to die. Then Patrick Wilson's character, Brian Harper, has to like figure out a way, land the shuttle with like no electronics, which he's able to do. And then there's like a fall from grace for him. Because he's the only one who's like, there was this like big black crazy cloud that like fucked us up and they all think he's crazy. So he's been disgraced and Halle Berry is like knocked out at the time. So she really couldn't substantiate the whole thing. Anyways, come to find out it's some crazy alien thing on the moon and the moon is hollow and it's really a alien space vehicle. And it is the dumbest fucking movie in the world. Like, the premise sounds cool, but then, like, the acting's bad. Like, Halle Berry is bad in this.
Really?
And Halle Berry won an Oscar.
Yikes.
You know? She won an Oscar.
Oh, no.
It's just so terrible that you should not watch it. But I fucking rented it. I paid money for it because I was so excited about it.
Damn.
So, anyways, don't go see that.
Bummer.
I know, because it was like, oh, it looks so good.
Yeah. About Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Yeah, do we care about that?
I think he's so funny.
Do you?
I think he's hilarious.
That's gonna be a controversial take.
He
right
tweeted
there.
Today. So he said, "I'm gonna buy Coca-Cola and I'm gonna put the cocaine back in it."
I saw that too. Is that real though?
No.
Did he really tweet that though?
Oh, I think so.
I don't think he really tweeted
I think he
that.
Did. It's funny as hell if he did. I mean, here's the thing. Is it ridiculous that he bought Twitter? Yeah.
To me, Elon Musk seems like a very smart guy. He's the richest man in the world, right?
I think he is.
He says Putin's got more money than him, but whatever. Huh. Documented richest man in the world. And I think that buying Twitter is a bad business move. It seems like
absolutely
a bygone platform for social media.
Right.
If he was smart, he would buy TikTok. I don't know if Facebook would ever sell. But I don't understand it. It just seems like a flex.
I think it is a flex. Oh, but he did tweet that.
He did tweet it.
It's fucking hilarious. Real magic is only a sip away. Actual slogan of Coca-Cola. I love that so much. I mean, listen, I've seen all the shit where, like, I guess at one point, like, the UN or somebody said this is how much it costs to, like, fight the global climate crisis.
Yeah.
And that's, like, exactly how much he just bought Twitter for.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that totally contradicts everything you've ever said. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah,
I
but
get
he has
that.
Made a bunch of electric cars. Which,
yeah,
which
yeah,
help,
yeah.
You know?
So, like, I totally feel that aspect of it. I just think he's hilarious. And, I mean, listen, yeah. Twitter's dead. Who cares about Twitter?
I just don't understand. It just seems like $44 billion for
a flex.
For a flex.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
And to me, that's like, that just goes against what he is, which is a shrewd businessman.
Maybe there's something we don't know.
Maybe.
About Twitter.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Put the cocaine back in
Coca-Cola. That is funny. I just want him to hurry up with going to Mars already.
Somebody else said, can you buy at McDonald's and fix all the ice cream machines?
Have you ever had one of those ice creams?
No, because the machine's always fucking broken.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
I actually have, but nine times
good?
Out of 10, it's pretty good. Especially when you're like drunk as hell and you like need a little ice cream.
Yeah.
When I'm and drunk they're like a dollar.
Yeah, when I'm drunk as hell, I don't need ice cream,
I
though.
Do. I need ice cream.
When I'm drunk as hell, I need
ice cream.
I need a Big Mac.
No,
bro?
No. I don't need those.
You don't need those?
No. I like fries and ice cream.
Really?
Yeah. Dip the fry in the ice cream.
I know.
Yeah, yummy.
Anything else? You want some Muzax?
I'm bored with Muzax.
We should go out on some Orville Peck.
Oh, yeah. He's really good.
Is it Orville or Orville?
Orville.
Orville. I mean, they're all wrong.
I mean, that's how Noah says it and their friends, so I just assume that's correct.
Like Redenbacher?
Yeah.
Well, it was fun having you come over.
Thanks. The time really just flew by.
It did.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. We really didn't talk about anything.
We really didn't. We did not talk about anything.
That's great. Man. No wonder we're not on the first page of that Instagram thing. You know? It's starting to check out. I'm starting to get it now.
I mean, anytime someone asks me what my podcast is about, I say, Wells and I just sit around and shoot the shit.
Really? That's what you say?
Yeah.
You don't say it's called Your Favorite Thing and we talk about our favorite things?
I do say that, but then I say, but really, it's Wells and I sitting around shooting the shit.
Yeah. That's true. I love my mission statement on it. Always. I like it's so self-aggrandizing. It's like, you know, Brandy and I realized that there was like a lot of negativity in the world and we wanted to bring some positivity. So like we decided to do a show like it was only about positivity. And that's why we called it Your Favorite Thing Podcast. It's only about our favorite things.
Meanwhile, you know what my least favorite thing is?
Moonfall.
This is why you're alone. Positivity my ass.
Listen, I'll be the first to admit that I'm full of shit, okay? Which makes me not full of shit.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. YFTers, we love you.
Love ya.
See you guys.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.